So we are now in Ordinary Time. This is our second Sunday of Ordinary Time. And we had a very busy Christmas season. And so in light of that, Monsignor Knox was very kind and let me take a vacation last week, which was delightful. I was gone for a week. I went on a cruise with three other priests. It's my second cruise. I went on one a couple years ago with my mother, and then now this time with three other priests. And so it was beautiful weather. We started in Miami, and we had three stops along the week. We stopped in Honduras, Belize, and Mexico. And the great thing about a cruise is you are trapped in a big moving city that travels with 3,500 people on water. And so you are very forced in a good way to relax. Your phone does not work. Your emails do not work. You just get to be. And so it was a blessed time. We would wake up every day, celebrate Mass in our little tiny cabin in the ship. Then we would just relax, eat meals, and then share camaraderie together. And while we were there, there's of course, as I said, 3,500 people on this ship. And throughout the week at meals, at least once or twice a week, or once or twice a day, I kept seeing this one gentleman every day. And the reason I would see him and he struck out to me is because he looked very different. He looked kind of deformed. His skin was different. He had a very small head. He had these like mechanisms, these metal pieces on the sides of his head near his neck. His eyes looked smaller. His skin almost looked burned, like he had been maybe like a burn victim. And so he just looked in appearance very different. And so I would notice him at the meals about once or twice a day. And we would usually at some point pass each other. And so I would give him like the head nod, like, hello. And this happened for like 6 days in a row that I would see this gentleman. And I kept wondering, I wonder what happened to him that he kind of looks so different. And so on the last evening of the cruise, we were down in the atrium area. We just finished dinner. And the four of us priests, we were in casual clothes, sitting just relaxing. And this gentleman, who I'd seen every day once or twice, came over and just started talking to us. He said, how you guys doing? My name's Francis. We said, hello, Francis. We went around the area and introduced ourselves. And he talked about where he was from. He said, where are you guys from? We said, Chicagoland. He told us where he was from. And he said, you know, I'm here on this ship, just kind of talking to people. I came on this ship, this cruise, by myself. And I'm here on a mission to tell people who I am and that there are people like me out there who look very different and have this this rare condition. And so my priest friend said, well, what is your condition? What happened to you? You do look very different. He said, well, when I was born with no facial structure bones, no bones in my face. I had a cleft lip. I was born with no ears and no eye sockets. And so I was born very weak. And so when I was an infant and a young boy, I had over 20 surgeries in order to have these metal mechanisms put in the side of my head to be able to have auditory senses. They had to give me eye sockets in some way. That's why my eyes look a little smaller and different. He said, I've had a lot of reconstructive surgery on my face. This is why my skin looks different. They put new bones and different pieces of metal and plastic in my face. And then they also repaired my lip. And so I've gotten much physical therapy, much therapy on my way to learn to speak. And he said, so I've had all these different things happen to me. And as he's talking and sharing about his life and these surgeries and his difficulties, my priest friend asked him, he said, you know, Francis, you seem really happy, like really joyful, and you have a lot of difficulty, a lot of things that happen to you in your life, all these surgeries, all these things. How do you stay so joyful? And immediately, Francis said, it's my trust and belief in Jesus Christ. It's the only way that I am so joyful. It is my trust and my belief in Jesus Christ. He's just done so much for me in my life. And then he said also, Secondly, what motivates me so much is the person I look up to most, two people, which is actually my parents. So I have two amazing parents, and they have 12 children. He said two of those children are biological. He said the other 10, myself and the other 9, are all adopted, and we all have extreme special needs. And our parents chose us. He said, you know, I was born to this world with all these deficiencies and stuff, but my parents took me, and they took all of us who weren't wanted with these extreme difficulties. He said, they're just amazing people. They're incredible. I look up to them, and they're the ones who gave me this faith and taught me how to live this life with joy. And so it's my faith in Christ, and it's my parents, really, is how I make it. So we're standing there just taken back by this man. He's incredible. He's an amazing man. And so as we kept talking to him, he shared a few minutes more about his life, and he eventually walked away. And when he left, I was very struck by his story, of who he was. I was amazed by him. I wanted to know more about his faith in Christ, his prayer life, what he does in order to have that faith. And then secondly, when he walked away, I was even more curious. I wanted, even though he came alone, I didn't get to, I wanted to meet his parents. I wanted to know, who are these superstar people who not only have 12 children, but adopted 10 special needs, extreme special needs children. I wanted to meet these saints because I know for my own self, I have a brother, he's got a little boy with cerebral palsy. He's got 2 children. And having just one child with special needs, it's a huge sacrifice. He has to devote all of his life to it. And it's really making him a saint. And so I wanted to meet these people. Who are these people? These amazing men and women. And of course, he's on the ship himself. I didn't get to meet them. But it really struck me. And so let's put Francis there for a second. We'll come back to him. Let's dive in for a second into the scripture, because we have this very famous scene of these two disciples of John the Baptist. And what's going on 2,000 years ago? Well, 2,000 years ago in the Jewish culture, if you are a disciple, that means you are a disciple to a rabbi. And so we have disciple and Rabbi John the Baptist. He is a Jewish rabbi. Rabbi, as we learn, means teacher. And disciple, the definition, literally translates into learner. So if I discipline somebody, I'm teaching them something so they can learn. I'm the teacher, they are the disciple. So teacher, Rabbi John, these two disciples of John. And what happened in Jewish culture is we have many, many rabbis walking around. The reason is because Moses in the Jewish scriptures gave 613 commandments. So here's the commandments. Now we need somebody to interpret them. I'll give you an example. So one of these commandments is do no work on the Sabbath. And so the question is, okay, we can't do any work, but it gets dark out. I have to light candles. Does that constitute as work? And so these rabbis would debate how to interpret those laws. And so one rabbi might say, okay, I'm Rabbi Stephen. I say you have 3 rooms in your house. By necessity, you need light in the evening. You can light 3 candles. No more than that. And that was his interpretation. Another rabbi might say, no, I am Rabbi David. You can light no candles, means work. And the Jewish culture, Orthodox Jews, still have these interpretations. So for instance, I was a couple years ago at a Jewish Sabbath meal, and the meal and the bread had been baked the day before, because they said to bake bread is an act of work. And so we baked the day before, set the table, that way we don't have to work on this day of Sabbath. And so all these rabbis have different interpretations. So you as a disciple, follow the rabbi, learn to be like him. He teaches you the Torah. He teaches you the interpretation, how to live your life according to these commands. And what happens is as you learn them and believe them, in the Jewish culture, belief was not just something that sits in your mind, but it was known to be a verb. And so if I believe what the rabbi is saying, then I actually believe it by living it out. So if you tell me only light three candles, my belief then becomes an action, so I do not light more than three candles. If you tell me I shouldn't bake bread on the Sabbath, then I believe that I acted out by not doing that. My belief becomes an action. It's a verb. So the question for each one of us today as we look at this scripture, what then happened? Rabbi, disciple, they've heard from John the Baptist all these ways of teaching, and he's been telling them for so long that there's one coming after me who's even greater than I. The greatest rabbi, the one who will save us from everything. And when you see him, I'm going to even go and follow him. And so this is why then when John the Baptist, Rabbi John, says there is Jesus, they immediately leave because they believed what Rabbi John said. They heard the belief, and once Jesus was there, they acted. They made it into an action, and they followed him. And so this is what we know happened. Rabbi, and then they follow him. And on the way, their belief is so strong that Andrew, knowing that, yes, I believe what Rabbi John said, that he goes on the way, he stops and gets his brother Simon and says, Simon, we found the Messiah. We have to go meet him. So this belief became action. And so now the question for each one of us is, are we going to become disciples? Are we going to become like Andrew, who hears the word, believes it, and then acts? This is why in the scriptures we hear faith without works is dead. Because faith is not real if it's just in our mind and we think about it. If we do not act on it, then it means nothing. It means nothing. And so are we going to be another Andrew? Are we going to be a Francis, like on that ship, who he goes and proclaims who he is and says, the reason I exist, my joy, comes from Jesus Christ, from my faith. And so will we be a Francis? Will we be an Andrew? Do we truly believe this gift of the confessional that Jesus Christ forgives us? And if we do believe this, are we going to act and go at least to confession once a month? Do we truly believe that Jesus Christ in just a moment is present on this altar, that I'm not going to simply eat bread and wine, but I'm going to consume the God of the universe? And if I believe that, am I going to act on that? Am I going to tell somebody else about the gift of this Mass? When was the last time I told somebody, hey, you should go to church with me. You should check out Mass. Am I going to be a Francis or an Andrew to my spouse? Will I be an Andrew to my children, to my siblings, to my parents? Will I be an Andrew? Will I actually hear the faith, believe it, and act on it? So as we receive the Eucharist today, let us ask the Lord, where do we lack this faith? Where do we lack this belief? And ask Him to move it not just from our mind, but to our heart. For this is the longest distance that exists in the world. The mind to the heart. And so let us instill this deep belief and not just think it, but act on it and become another Andrew.